We're going to unofficially call our meeting to order. There is not yet a quorum at the Committee on the Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs. Today is Monday, January 22nd. We are going to start with the League of Minnesota Cities. If you'd please come to the table. Each one of these entities have been asked to stay under 15 minutes, and so I will hold you to that. So first we have Craig Johnson and Jen O'Rourke from the Intergovernmental Relations, correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Craig Johnson. This is Jen O'Rourke. We're with the League of Minnesota Cities. We both work in the Governmental Relations Department there. We have several other members of our team that work on issues that you will see around the Capitol. And a list of those can be found in the information that we did manage to get in time, thanks to Peter's help and others, to get in your packets. We have two items in your information. One is a blue guide that says Resources and Services. I'll refer to a couple things in that. The other is a quickly photocopied version that says the 2007 session in brief. This is going to be printed out in our city's magazine that is not yet published, so we quick printed an advanced copy of this to give to you today so we could share that information with you while we have this opportunity. So we're going to cover a few things quickly, and we'll take well less than 15 minutes to keep you on track, I'm sure. The League of Minnesota Cities is an association that represents all the cities of the state of Minnesota. We're an umbrella organization. We're actually founded in 1913, and we were formed by the University of Minnesota Extension Division as a way for them to help work with local governments in how to do better management of their services they were providing. Actually, we're under that division of the University of Minnesota until 1974 when we became an independent organization. And the league now represents 831 of the 854 cities in the state. Our largest city in the state that is not a member of the league is Georgetown at 119 people. And the rest are all smaller than that. The league actually provides a number of different services to our members. We have research staff that city officials are able to call if they have questions related to anything from an ordinance that they're drafting to human resources questions. We have a reference library that's open to our members on a walk-in basis that includes all law library and city ordinance copies from all the way back to 1913. We have codification and charter services to help cities that are either working on codifying or working through charter commission efforts in their cities. We have outreach services with field representatives and an ambassador program that takes distinguished and experienced past city officials and has them travel around the state to help other city officials who are still acting current city officials. We do have representation for cities, both with state agencies and at the state capitol, through our government relations work. We have a communications and information service that gets information out to cities, ranging from our publications, a couple of which you get as legislators. You get our city's bulletin that comes out every week during the legislative session. You also get our city's magazine that comes out about every 2 months during the course of the year. We have conferences and training. We do statewide events as well as regional events. We have regional training that we do several times a year on different events. We provide training for newly elected officials to help them learn the ropes of what they're getting into, and also have training for more experienced local officials to deal with issues that have come up over the past year or two that they may not have had to directly deal with in their city yet. And a significant part of our work is a self-insurance pool to provide the liability insurance for our members. In addition to our 831 member cities, we have 11 townships and 52 special purpose districts, watershed districts being a big part of that, but also sanitary districts being another big chunk of those that are members of ours for some of those services as well. And then finally, we do provide short-term investment advice and assistance through our 4M fund, our Minnesota Municipal Money Market Fund, for league members. We partner in doing a lot of this work with many of the businesses around the state, both financial advisory and consulting and engineering firms, to get services out to our members as quickly as possible. That's a little background on what the league is. If you haven't been made aware of this, if you're new here and don't know yet, our building is at the corner of Rice and University. Is the offices for the league. You can track us down there anytime you need to. It's the one that has a little clock tower sticking up that has lots of owl noises coming from the roof that are very ineffective at scaring the pigeons from the steeple. But they make more sense when you see the owls sitting on top of there floating around in their inflated glory. It's a constant battle for our building manager and a sore point, so don't tease him too hard. The legislative issues for the League of Minnesota Cities really run the gamut of the issues you'll be discussing here at the legislature. As you can guess, the vast majority of the bills introduced here have some impact on city government in the state of Minnesota. But as far as ones that we are, you know, fairly certain that either we will be discussing at some point in front of your committee or that your committee will probably have an interest in what happens on, even if it doesn't come here directly, I'm going to hit on a few and then Jen will cover a few. Annexation would be an obvious one. I do the work on that issue on behalf of the League. We work very closely with the other city organizations in the state as well as the township organizations, have been for a number of years now. I think we will be cooperatively coming forward this year with some suggestions for how to move forward from the legislation that was put through last session to patch that up a little so it works as the interim piece it was meant to be. We definitely are supporting continuing that effort and getting the task force to actually get together and meet. We have already discussed with our appointees, and the townships I know have as well. They can tell you about it when they are up here. To get together as soon as possible to start meeting as a group just with them, if nothing else, while we wait for that legislation to continue the effort. The annexation issues that come up will obviously be something we would be very interested in and would want to know more about what members are interested in doing on that as well. Impaired waters is something we've put a tremendous amount of effort into over the past several years. This committee does look at a number of local water management issues, and in fact, we'll be hearing more about that very soon, I expect. The governor's budget did come out today with about $20 million per year for state agency funding to go forward with testing the waters and determining where impairments are, and for doing the studies to determine what has to be done to clean that water up. What obviously isn't part of that yet is any funding for the cities and other local units of government that have to do that cleanup. That's not in the budget yet.
If I could just interrupt you, we're formally going to call this meeting to order. We do now have a quorum. Thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, with the impaired waters issue, I do expect that we'll be looking at how to assure that cities can get the resources they need, because when you find out that water is polluted, one of the first things that happens is there's a requirement that anyone with a water permit has to start doing more pollution control. And cities are one of the primary entities that has permits, both on their wastewater and stormwater. Last issue, I think, of significant interest that I'll mention is regulatory takings. We have an ongoing concern that some of the issues that were not addressed in the last session regarding property rights may come up in the form of going after city land use planning, zoning, or other regulatory means that cities use to accomplish their work as a form of taking against property owners. It has happened in other states. We have numerous concerns both about where that would be appropriate, but also where it would not be appropriate to put those kind of protections in place. Certainly are willing to talk with members who have concerns on that. An issue that, for instance, has come up the last several years at the legislature is related to garbage hauling, where cities try to do organized collection of their solid waste, which under state law we're required to do. It's our highest priority, and if counties put it in their solid waste plans, cities must do it. And there's been an interest from the garbage industry to make that an inverse condemnation, so essentially a takings claim against the city if they do limit the number of garbage haulers in their jurisdiction. We have a lot of concerns about that, and we would expect that issue is one you will be hearing about at some point during this session. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jen to cover some of the funding issues. That is where she does most of her work.
Please state your name for the record. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jennifer O'Rourke, and I too am with the League of Minnesota Cities. And just to touch on a few things today that are both in your handout and not in your handout, obviously property tax issues and funding of some of those state aid city programs is one of our top priorities. Maybe doesn't touch this committee so much, but will in the taxes and local government committees. Another thing that goes hand in hand with some of that we've been active on in recent years, there are the state restrictions on local budgets, and sometimes that means levy limits or some of the property tax freeze proposals you've seen in recent years. We will definitely continue to be vocal on that issue. Another LGA-related issue, I don't know that it comes before this committee, but it has to do with the volatility that a number of cities experienced with their LGA amounts since the 2003 reforms. We'll be coming forward with a bill that probably will go to the Property Tax Division. I'm not sure that would come to this committee, but it's a big issue for a lot of our cities, and Gary Carlson, who a lot of you know, and myself, we'd be real glad to speak with you individually on that one and go into more detail on that if you choose. Just real quick, some of the other things that we'll be watching in your committee would be anything related to the economic development that many of our cities are charged with. Things that fall into that area would be many of the programs at DEED, like the redevelopment account and others, but also tax increment financing, which is an economic development tool that a lot of our cities utilize to work on their local projects. A couple of other things that my boss, Gary Carlson, asked me to just mention today that probably will come before your committee would be two issues, and one relates to an emergency preparedness bill that would be related to the bird flu. That bill is actually being drafted right now, but it probably would allow for or ask for broader authority in the ability to hold remote meetings that would be necessary for local governments to continue to provide services should such a flu pandemic become an emergency situation. And the second one deals with the OPEB issue, which is starting to become a real big deal for a lot of our cities. And that stands for Other Post-Employment Benefits. And that bill would probably allow cities to establish trusts, which right now they're not allowed to do. That's about all I have today. We are happy to stand here for questions if there are any from members.
Any questions from members of the committee? All right, with that, thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I'd just quickly add that the back of this photocopy piece does give the names of all of the other folks involved in government relations for the League and list what issues they cover. So anytime you have a question on any of those issues, the contact information is right there for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, we're going to go to the minutes before we go to the next testifier. You actually have two sets of minutes in your packet. One, there was an error in the minutes that we approved at the last meeting. It said that it was the first meeting, which it was the second meeting, and no one caught that. So we do have to, with the change, have to reapprove the second day's minutes, and then we also have the minutes from January 17th. So first, I would entertain a motion to reconsider the minutes from January 10th.
So moved.
Representative Dominguez moves. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is approved. Now, I would, Representative Dominguez, would you like to also move the minutes for January 10th? Representative Dominguez moves the minutes from January 10th. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those minutes are adopted. All right, then I would entertain a motion for January 17th minutes.
Madam Chair, so
Representative Mark Wirtz moves the minutes from January 17th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those minutes are adopted. Thank you. And next we will have the Association of Townships, Kent Sulum. Please state your name for the record. Go ahead. You have 15 minutes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kent Sulum, General Counsel for the Minnesota Association of Townships. I am the face that you will see most often before this committee. However, before I start my overview, I would like to introduce two other people that are here today. We have Jim Fisher, who is on our board of directors and works with us on just trying to get an overview of township government and also on annexation, and Rob Vanosik, who has a contract to assist us on legislative issues this session. Our executive director, David Fricke, was unable to be here this afternoon, but he has, I'm sure, popped into a number of your offices already, and if not, you'll be seeing him over the next couple of weeks just to introduce himself as our executive director. I believe that in your packets there were two handouts. One's sort of a ivory-colored sheet that is a quick bulleted view of our overall policies, and the other is a little larger document, Introduction to Townships. and that just kind of provides an overview of our association. We are a voluntary membership organization of the townships across the state. We represent all but three of the 1,788 townships. The number of townships fluctuates from time to time. We had a couple of townships pursue incorporation into cities this past year. Of course, annexation is an issue. However, we also welcomed a new township this year. So that number does fluctuate from time to time, but we're currently at 1,788. All but three are members. Unlike Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry I cannot tell you the population of those three, but I'm sure they're a lot smaller than his three. that's just the nature of the beast. Our primary objective, other than representing township government interests before the state legislature and the various associations, we provide training. And we do an extensive amount of training, reaching approximately 6,000 township officers over the course of the year. We have spring workshops that will be starting the third week of March and going for 15 straight days, business days. And then we do another round of 8 or 9 in the summer, plus some specialized workshops. And with those scheduled workshops, like I said, our total enrollment usually comes out around 6,000 between the spring, summer, and a couple of the handful of special ones that we have going on a regular basis. In the larger handout that you have, you'll see that after the overview of our association, you'll see some numbers. And this is provided so that you understand where township revenues come from, and you'll notice that it largely does not come from the state. We lost all state aid other than, for the most part, our 5% set aside of the gas tax, the highway user fund. LGA and HACA payments were eliminated. They were phased out, but after the 2002 payments, they're down to zero. As a result, that's $33 million in state aid that has been lost to townships. This year, we will be trying to work with the appropriate committees to be back at the table so that all aid formula discussions recognize that we are a form of government. Our folks are seeing escalating property taxes, as we testified in Representative Marquardt's committee this past Friday. Township levies have doubled since the year 2000. And part of that is because of the $33 million loss in state aid with ever-increasing costs, particularly in the area of road maintenance. A unique feature of township government is the fact that our budgeting cycle is approximately a two-year cycle. Our levies are set directly by the people at the town meeting, which will be happening in just a few weeks, the second Tuesday of March. Those levies that are set this March are for collection in 2008, which means that the total available revenues from those collections really aren't there until your 2009 expenditures. And so any changes that occur in state mandates and state funding levels, it takes us a two-year process to make all of those changes reconciled with our local budget process. And so we do just ask that, as you look at everything, you keep that in mind. One of the areas that we had impact was in the Market Valley credits. In 2003 and 2004, I believe I'm citing the correct years, there was a state decision to withhold the payments on the Market Valley credits, and that had a particular impact on townships because we had no way to increase or modify our levies. So we just put that out there as our revenue sources. Township roads and township bridges accounts for a little more than half of our annual township needs. Townships are responsible for more lane miles of roads than any other governmental entity in the state. We have approximately 59,000 miles of township roads, and I believe that's over 6,000 bridges on that road structure. And if you look at page 8 by page numbering, we didn't number the cover, so page 8 by the page numbering of the larger document, you'll see a breakout of where the deficient bridge systems are. There's 840 current bridges that are deficient at the township level by the state studies. And so one of our legislative efforts this year will be once again trying to procure as much state funding, particularly through bonding, for town roads and town bridges. And roads of regional significance funding will be a part of that.
Excuse me, Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just out of curiosity, if you could track in the off year and the big bonding years, what's been the level? Has there been some done in each of the 2 years? for local roads and bridges.
Mr. Sewell.
Madam Chair, Representative Hausman, yes, for the past couple of years we have received bonding money for roads and bridges in both the traditional bond year and the off year. The roads of regional significance has only been funded the last two sessions, I believe, so it's been one current bond session and one off year.
Okay, please continue.
Okay. At the very end of the large handout, you'll see just a bulleted point of some of our specific legislative issues that we expect to be either introducing bills on or working with others or omnibus bills, as the case may be. And they range anywhere, as you'll see, from beaver control. That may seem like an insignificant issue to some of you. It's, you know, why does the state need to worry about beavers? But again, if you're responsible for 59,000 miles of roads and you have severe erosion occurring on those roads, particularly in the northern parts of the state, you'll discover that beavers are a serious problem. And for years, the state did have a beaver grant program, a control program, and there actually is an ongoing process through the DNR. We just will be supporting getting funding to that and or recognizing the restoration of what used to be known as beaver bounties. Gopher bounties still exist. The beaver bounties were removed many years ago, but we'll be working on efforts for that. On the comprehensive transportation finance efforts, we'll be supporting reasonable gas tax increases as well as bonding and any other comprehensive package. We are not opposed to some of the special metro needs. We certainly recognize that there are very expensive and unique needs in the metro. We just ask for the courtesy of recognition that in the rural areas, the transit needs are not as high and the special funding mechanisms that may work in the metro don't work as well in the outstate areas. And that's where the state of general appropriations and bonding becomes very important to us, because the local option sales tax in a township in northwestern Minnesota will generate nowhere near the revenues to touch the need. We, as I mentioned earlier, we will be working on LGA or HACA funding. We'll be working on wetland mitigation issues, making sure that Bowser has full funding to continue doing the mitigation credits. We will also be seeking membership on Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And to the best of my knowledge, this is last year they passed a resolution unanimously supporting our efforts if we deferred it to this year. And we have not received any notice that they will be opposing it this year. We're following their request, so we'll be bringing in a bill actually jointly with the cities, because they are seeking the same type of membership. So we have official voices on some of these important policy matters. Election issues, we have already met with the new secretary's staff and are excited to know that most of the agenda items that that office is proposing are very consistent with our issues, looking at things like improving the process of election judges and the resources for those election judges. One issue that is likely to be of importance that this committee will hear about is HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, and its impact on the township elections in March, because it does play a little bit differently than it does with the city elections that are the vast majority of which are done in conjunction with the state and federal in November, the even-numbered year. Last year we sought an exemption from using the equipment, and instead we ended up with some language that made the cost of using that equipment, if everything we were told is true, much more affordable, from $1,200 down to $79. However, in the last few weeks we've been told by county auditors that that estimate may be wrong, and the cost may actually escalate to $500 to $800, and we're working on that. But one of the things we may ask for is there are currently about $2 million in unallocated HAVA funds, and we're hoping that a portion of that could be set aside as a safety net account, so that if operational expense exceeds X, you know, more than the $79 we're anticipating, the state would be willing to reimburse townships for a portion of that until we can find the long-term solutions. So that's where we'll be working on election issues. We have some issues with going back to property tax, with how properties are evaluated, and we'll be looking at that. We actually have a resolution to try to modify the highest and best use language that currently exists, and there are some ag groups that we'll be working with on those matters. That's pretty much a highlight of some of the key issues that you'll be seeing. One that I wouldn't just notice I skipped over is a government efficiencies matter. And I believe that the cities may have some interest in it as well, but our members said that they wanted a priority for this year, and that's the authority to use design-build. When you're doing road projects or constructing a new town hall, it's very common to have engineers give you one price if they can have the total package, but a totally different price if they're supposed to sell their designs to a private construction outfit. And it actually defeats the purpose of trying the competitive bidding laws because you can't get as much competition. You won't have vendors actually willing to do the work if they can't get an all-in-one contract. And so we are looking to build off of some efforts that have been there at the state level for design build, particularly for roads and public building construction. So there are a number of town halls in light of handicapped accessibility issues and higher turnout at meetings. So that's one that this committee will likely see. With that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Questions from members of the committee. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment to the design build discussion. A couple years ago, we carried a design build that extended that authority for a certain percentage of state bonding contracts to get outside of or get beyond just the University of Minnesota doing, but allow MinSCU and the State Department Administration, sort of a pilot project, I guess, because it is breaking some new ground. Apparently, the preliminary look is that it's been there has been no harm done. Indeed, there is the possibility of some great success. So I'm glad to hear the townships are looking to buy into that as well or asking for that authority. But know that a great deal of blood was let and price was paid just to get that small increment, that first baby step. So if it comes in front of this committee, yeah, it sounds like it's a good idea. Also, I think there was some township authority in the road bill last year that allowed them to just tack on to county and city projects without going out for bid just to extend asphalt on township roads, and that worked very successfully in a project in Belle Plaine. So, better government, I guess we're all for it around the table here.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Sulem.
Representative Beard, thank you, and that is correct, and we hope that we can continue to work on those efforts. I obviously skipped one very large issue that I would like to wrap up with, and that is annexation. As Mr. Johnson indicated, we will be working with the cities to bring forth a bill, and I know one was introduced this afternoon, to extend the task force and to have official appointments made to that task force. And we hope to continue to have that success. There may be some additional annexation bills to get certain key points raised. And slowly, we've been reaching everybody's office. We actually have a formal booklet that's even larger than the house we have that goes into much greater detail on many of the issues I've quickly highlighted. We didn't bring it to the committee today because we really do like to sit down in your office and kind of go through certain pieces in more substance with you than we can do in the committee hearing. So if you haven't received this book already, you will be very shortly. I believe that Jim Fisher, who I introduced earlier, has successfully been making appointments with just about everybody here. I know he's got a couple more for the rest of this week. And so you'll see some more of the specific concerns that we have on annexation. It's a much broader topic than I'm sure you wish to go into yet this afternoon, but there are specific concerns or issues. I'd be happy to take those questions.
All right. Any further questions? If not, thank you. Next up is the Association of Minnesota Cities, Joe Matthews. Oh, excuse me, Minnesota Counties. I misspoke. Please come to the table, state your name for the record, and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Joe Matthews. I'm a policy analyst with the Association of Minnesota Counties, and I appreciate you giving us the time to be here. I'd just like to start out echoing a few of the comments of the League of Minnesota Cities on the property tax issue. That's obviously a huge concern to us. Specifically, I'd just like to echo some comments that we made a few weeks ago in Representative Marquardt's committee, that all the actions you take here in this committee may trickle down and ultimately affect property taxes as costs are shifted to local governments or as rests provide new services without potentially having revenue. That said, the Association of Minnesota Counties represents all 87 counties in the state of Minnesota. We're a volunteer organization, and we receive input from all the commissioners from all of your counties throughout the state through various policy committees, of which general government is one. That's the committee that I staff and the committee that deals with most of the issues that come before this committee. I think we share a lot of the same concerns that other local governments do, specifically in areas of eminent domain, as I mentioned earlier, the property tax, elections, etc. I'll just touch briefly on a few issues that we think are priorities for us that may come before this committee. I know most of ours will probably not necessarily come through here as we have a lot of fiscal issues with county program aid and the like. The first one I'll mention is OPEB, which the city's already mentioned. There's a report that came out from the state auditor's office last fall that estimated the statewide liability for all local governments to be about $3 billion. We take this very seriously. Counties don't have a huge percentage of that dollar amount, but it's fairly significant with, I believe, Ramsey and Hennepin counties being two counties that have large liabilities. In order for us to take a proactive role and address this issue head on, we are going to be seeking, in conjunction with the cities and the schools, the authority to create trusts in order to invest some of our county revenues more wisely and in more diverse investment vehicles. We're hoping, we're optimistic that with a little added authority, I will be able to eliminate about a third of that liability. We're not sure of the exact dollar amount at this time. We're working with the current state auditor to go with all of our counties and determine what the exact dollar figure is. The amount in the report last fall was just an estimate, so I caution all of you to not hold us to the $3 billion estimate. I think that could go up or down as we actually have actuaries review those numbers. A few other issues that I'll just touch on briefly. One, I'd just like to say that counties are in support of anything that will allow for more efficient use of government resources. Among those, we'd like to see expanded use of new technologies like the Internet to provide notice to constituents and to citizens. Right now, most of your county notices and county news you'll find in the form of a hard copy or newspaper. And we have had talks internally about finding ways to use new technology to more efficiently and more cheaply convey that information. We also have a few election issues to work on. We've unfortunately had a few situations in the past couple of years where commissioners have died while in office. And unfortunately, the way state law is currently drafted, anyone who's seeking to fill those vacancies has actually been forced to begin petitioning for that office before, in some cases, a funeral was even able to be held. We'd like to go back and review that. We think that should be fairly non-controversial, and basically just allow for a little more time and especially some more sensitivity to the families of those commissioners who have passed on. We also support a provision which has been controversial from time to time in the past, which would allow county boards to appoint the row officers, that'd be a recorder, auditor, and treasurer. At this time, I think there's about 20 counties in the state of Minnesota whose boards are authorized to appoint rather than elect those positions. Really, this stems from a lot of smaller counties with low populations that find it difficult to get qualified candidates to run for those offices. And as we ask county government to do more, these offices really demand a little more expertise than they did in the past. The counties that have that authority currently tend to be your smaller counties, and I know there's at least one or two counties that have approached us and will be seeking legislation on their own if a statewide authority isn't granted in the future. One other issue I'll touch on, and I'll stand for questions after that, would be the appointment of partisan election judges. It's been a huge issue, especially in Ramsey County, when we're trying to find election judges. When we're asked to offer election judges from all parties, all major parties. And obviously in some areas dominated either by the Republican or Democratic Party, that can be very difficult. And we'd like to actually have the option to appoint in cases where it's difficult to find partisan judges, appoint nonpartisan judges. And that's just a flavor of a few of the issues that you'll see before this committee. Obviously the association as a whole will be working on a wide variety of issues, including health and human services, environmental issues, transportation, and many of the other things you heard the other associations comment on, so I won't take up any more time repeating that, but I will stand for any questions.
Questions from members. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And will AMC be putting out a policy booklet and some contact information? I don't see anything here.
We will. And I apologize for not having that today. Sorry, Madam Chair. Representative Holber, we will be putting that out to all of the members. I'd also, you should have also received from us a package that included a DVD on the property tax issue itself, talking about the various factors that impact it and what cause that has. So you will be getting more information from us.
Further questions? I see no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam.
Next is the Association of Metropolitan Municipalities and Louis Jamboy. Please state your name for the record and go ahead.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, my name is Louis Jamboy. I'm with the Association of Metropolitan Municipalities. We used to call ourselves AMM. We now refer to ourselves as Metro Cities. We tried to get out of the of the acronym circle and be a little more descriptive, figuring if you knew who you were talking to while we were talking to you, that perhaps our message might get through a little easier, perhaps not. Metro Cities was created over 30 years ago by the League of Cities, and the purpose was to create an organization to represent Metro City perspective at the Metropolitan Council. The Met Council was a new agency at the time, and an awful lot of the League's time and resources were dedicated to dealing with the Met Council, and a second organization needed to be created. One of the adjuncts was for us to also deal with those issues that affect the Twin Cities metropolitan area here here at the legislative level. We appreciate the opportunity to address the committee today. We thank you for this time to express our views. We have 85 cities in total in the seven-county metropolitan area, and that includes the core cities, the inner-ring suburbs, the developing area, and the rural area of the Twin Cities area. The cities who make up our members are the homes to about 90% of the metro area population. We provided you with a one-page summary of our policies. We also have a much more extensive document. It includes 68 policy positions in all. You have, of course, told us not to talk about all of those today, and we won't. So we just want to hit on a few high points. In the area of taxation, we think that local government aid is an important issue for the Twin Cities metropolitan area, and primarily for the developed core of the metropolitan area, the Twin Cities itself, and the inner ring suburbs. We know the amount of LGA has gone up and down over the last several years. It's been on an increase, but we think that most of the restoration of those funds have gone to Greater Minnesota. We would like to continue to grow that pot, but in the context of capturing some of that new growth for the inner ring suburbs and the fully developed part of the metropolitan area, including the core. We are working with the North Metro Mayors on that issue and several other organizations. In the transportation arena, we are one of those organizations that certainly buys the notion that the Twin Cities area is underspending in transportation, highways and transit, to the amount of somewhere between $1 billion and $1.7 billion per year. We supported the MVEST constitutional amendment as a way to try to bridge some of that gap, but we also know that those funds won't be enough or nearly enough to completely fill the gap. And as a result, Metro Cities has endorsed a variety of transportation and transit funding techniques, funding sources that would help fill the gap. It's the usual range of sources, things that have been discussed in committee here for many years. In that light, we endorse House File 23 as a means to begin the conversation about those sources so they can be vetted here and in the Senate, and we can come out of this session hopefully with a politically and financially feasible way to increase our investments in transportation. We certainly endorse dedicating new CASA money to reflect greater need in the metro area. We do not endorse the use of MVEST money as a means to fill Metro Transit's operating gap. We believe the voters voted for MVEST as a means of accelerating spending in transit and not to fill existing operating gaps. In the area of development and redevelopment, Metro Cities endorses a variety of things, many of which we are happy to see in the governor's budget, not necessarily in the way we were hoping for, but it certainly is a start. We endorse the recapitalization of the redevelopment program with distribution of those funds in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. That program has undergone some changes since it was created in 1998. It started out as primarily a metro program. Today it's exclusively a Greater Minnesota program. We'd like to to bring it back into the metro area. We'd love to see the recapitalization of the Minnesota Investment Fund, a permanent funding source for clean water activities, and Craig Johnson from the League mentioned those. Governor's got about $20 million in there. That's a start. We endorse the governor's proposal to rededicate the contamination tax to the contamination cleanup program. We certainly endorse increased housing investments, particularly in light of the Metropolitan Council's affordable housing targets for the Twin Cities area. The council has put together pretty aggressive housing targets, and frankly, we don't think those are attainable absent resources to get some of them done, to get some of those things done. We support the Livable Communities Program here in the metropolitan area, and we know that the Met Council is going to come in with some changes to the program. The program's been oversubscribed since the day it was created. It is gap and incentive and in some cases innovative financing for development and redevelopment projects in the metropolitan area. It is utilized by large and medium and small cities across the metro, and it is created by a property tax levy, so we essentially are taxing ourselves to create that program. This year, well, in December of 06, the Met Council voted to reduce the levy by $1 million. We don't endorse that. Move $1 million into one-time planning grants, and we think we can work with the council on that front. Move around $3 million into the TBRA, the Tax-Based Revitalization Program, and depending on how that goes, we could certainly work with them. But we are surprised at the reduction in the levy, especially in light of the governor's proposal to capitalize the deed redevelopment program. It kind of appears to us like one is offsetting the other, when in fact we could use resources for both. Again, Madam Chair and members, I'll quit. I've spoken long enough. I appreciate the time on your agenda today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Calvi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And I just have, and maybe you covered this. You did a really good job covering everything. I'm just curious. You said you represent 90% of the population in the metro area. I'm assuming that's, did you say it was seven county? Or?
Yes. It's
Mr. Jamboy.
Madam Chair. Chair, I'm Representative Scalzi. It's the seven-county Twin Cities metropolitan area.
Representative Scalzi.
And a follow-up question would be, how many cities do you represent and how many cities do you not represent? Do you know that, or is it something you'd have to check on?
Mr. Jamboy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Scalzi, we have 85 city members. There's approximately 140 cities in the metropolitan area.
Follow-up Representative Selby?
No.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Next, we will have the Association of Small Cities. Dave Engstrom, I believe is how you pronounce your name. Please come to the table, state your name for the record, and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Dave Engstrom. Did very well on that name. And I am with Pace Minnesota, and I represent here at the legislature the Minnesota Association of Small Cities. We did have a one-page handout in your packet, and just to go over that a little bit, the cities, Small Cities Association, we currently represent about 350 cities in Minnesota, all cities with populations of less than 5,000. And our particular emphasis in you'll hear an echo here a lot with the other cities associations. We're very concerned with the same issues, but we put the emphasis on small cities' needs and some of the inequities that need to be addressed. Our organization is governed by a 12-member board of directors, and the sheet I passed out to you or provided in your packet listed the board of directors, and you can see we have elected and appointed officials, and you'll recognize all the small towns that that they are from. That board gets together based on input from the cities within their regions, and they develop policies that we present here at the legislature. Our concerns And once again, you'll hear this over and over again, LGA, and remember that there is a particular formula for cities under 2,500 people, which has been there for many years. Wastewater treatment issues, transportation funding, issues particular to the viability of small cities, annexation, and as you heard from the Township Association, we will be working, if there's anything presented here, we'll be working cooperatively to try and get something together here. But there are unique needs for small cities. Particularly now, local government aid, you know, city councils get together, and it's the stability of the funding and year-to-year fluctuations that might affect the city council, particularly where, you know, they don't have much to cut in a small city. I mean, there are cities that have a city clerk and maybe a maintenance person and not much beyond that. They contract for services. They don't have a lot of places to cut when they receive a cut in local government aid. They have few choices except to raise the levy. They do oppose levy limits or property tax freezes. They strongly support affordable housing and maybe some new initiatives there, including an increase in the state deed tax to support affordable housing. As I mentioned, wastewater funding is a large issue to them. They have supported additional transportation funding and would look to a number of methods to increase transportation funding, including potentially wheelage tax, extending that authority to some cities, or if the county does it, that they would get a percentage, increasing gas tax or indexing gas tax. Local planning, they would love to have and have supported a local planning process. They can't afford, most small cities can't afford a full-time planner, and so to get a good comprehensive plan for a city takes a few bucks, and they would support a planning program. The Metro Cities mentioned a possible $1 million grant program. Our association supports that. I think that probably covers it. We do have a website which has our full legislative policies there. The website is at the right at the bottom in the last paragraph of the handout that you received, and I would be glad to stand for any questions that you may have.
Any questions from members?
Okay.
Representative Schumper.
Madam Chair, could you give us some specifics on your transportation funding?
Madam Chair, Representative Schumper, specific on increasing transportation funding, increasing the gas tax, indexing the gas tax, increasing license tab fees, street utility fees, additional highway bonding, and wheelage tax or fees are programs that they have endorsed.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Engstrom, do you have a list of small cities that have pending issues with wastewater treatment, and can you quantify the need? And if you could you submit that to us?
Mr. Engstrom.
Madam Chair and Representative Olson, I'd be glad to do that. And we do have a list available.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Further questions? Okay, that's all. Thank you very much. Before we have the next person start, I just want to make the announcement to the committee that next Monday we will be taking the tour to the MAC. We're actually going to take a bus out onto the tarmac and take a really behind-the-scenes tour of the airport. So those of you who do not want to attend will have that time free. It's going to be during the committee time, and depending on traffic, we may go a little over, but it will be instead of meeting on Monday. So with that, we're going to call the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, Nancy Larson. Please state your name for the record.
And I
go ahead.
Do have handouts.
Okay. If you could grab those. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Nancy Larson, and I am with the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. It's a little change for me, but same issues. The Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, as you'll see when you get your handout, is a top sheet that lists the number of cities, the cities there are in our organization. We have actually 70 cities that are located outside the Twin Cities metropolitan area, and have been around for about 20 years now, so working on a variety of issues. The second sheet shows what some of our main priorities are this session. And I'll just start by talking about the one on the bottom, annexation. We don't have any handouts on that. We don't have a whole lot to talk about. That's been good news. And I think you heard that before, but those of you who were in local government the last few years know how many, many hours we spent working together, and I think it really made a difference. We're working very well together, trying to work together on a statewide basis and also on a local basis to make sure that our communities work together and resolve problems. There are some bills going out this year that will expand the task force that we set up last year, as we said, for another year, and also maybe do some other things that we all can agree to, and then let the task force do its job. And we're really pleased and thank those members who were here last year and did this for us. The next page is probably the one you'll want to turn to, because we'll go through this page. This is property tax relief. We think that most legislators this year ran on property tax relief. I think that was one of the issues that was really affecting almost every part of the state. And we've got a proposal, a bill that we'll be having out that does deal with every part of the state. I think it's important that we all work together and that we do provide some relief to our communities and our taxpayers. First part of that, it's a three-part proposal. The first part is LGA, and you've heard us talk about that many times. We think local government aid is really critical to many communities, especially in rural Minnesota. So we have $125 million going to them, $175 million going to school tax levy equalization, and $25 million to county aid. That's $325 million total. And that, we think, is a balanced approach that will bring property tax relief to all parts of the state. And so we think the voters sent a big message last year that they want us to work together, on a partisan level, a nonpartisan level, and also on a non-geographical level. We all have to work together. But the local government aid money, we don't change the formula, but we do put some tweaks in it. And one of the big tweaks, I think, is taking care of some of the cities that really their tax rate is really low. And I think that includes many of the, like, inner city suburbs. We think that they've really had a problem. And we do a variety of other things that try and help, again, like all parts of the state. The school property tax equalization helps especially low-wealth, fast-growing suburbs, but it helps, again, a variety of places that aren't helped by local aid. They don't need local aid, and it helps them particularly. And then the county aid replaces the money that was cut in 2003. So we think that this is really balanced. It's about half metro and half rural, the property tax relief. On the back, you can see we have a couple graphs. The top one is the most interesting, I think. It shows where we were in 2003 as far as local aid. And right now, you can see where we are in 2007. We're still much below where we were there. We're asking for enough money to really just come about, so we're right about back where we were in 2003. Oh, you don't have that on the back of yours?
Transportation fund.
Oh, I'm sorry, you don't. I forgot. I changed that. Okay, I'll hold it up right here. It is real critical. We had an inflationary point in there. I forgot I gave you a smaller version. You'll get this individual. You'll also get this little orange folder so you can always find things from the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. Inflation, if we went by, we used to have an inflationary thing in there, and then that would be up $200 million, but we're asking for $125 because we think that will balance out and bring us right back where we were in 2003. Another issue, the one that you have in the back of yours, is dealing with highways and funding for our highways. We know it's critical to everyone in the state, and we know that there's a number of proposals out. we will have a bill that's asking for a 5-cent gas tax increase. Now, some people think that's not enough, but we're looking, we're trying to get something that everyone can support, as many people as possible, and as many legislators as possible. We think that it's important to show support that there is a real need for funding, for some kind of ongoing funding. We think this is something that more people can support. We would be glad to support anything higher. This is just our proposal. But, you know, if proposals are passed or higher, we will support them. We'd also like to make sure that 60% of the motor vehicle sales tax money that was last year, that was in the constitutional amendment, is devoted to highways. We would like to see statutory language that was talked about last year. It was not ever passed, but I think there was a lot of support within the legislature. We would really like to see that passed statutorily so that in the future people know what, you know, that this was what the intent of that proposal was.
I could interrupt you for just 1 second. Representative
yes.
Olson.
Well, I didn't, thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't necessarily mean to interrupt, but
that's right.
I was waiting for questions.
That's okay, go ahead.
Making sure I'm on the list.
All right, go ahead, Representative Olson.
Ms. Larson.
Yes.
The same question that I asked of the small cities that you know very well about.
Yes, I do.
If you could put together a list of the communities that need, that you represent, as well as some numbers to quantify the need on wastewater, I'd appreciate it.
Ms. Larson.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, I can try and do that. I think we can give maybe an estimate, but those needs are changing all the time, and they will change, too, depending on what happens, on some of the environmental issues. You know, we've got that's one of the things that is one of our concerns is, like, the TMDLs, what will happen to them, what will happen with phosphorus, with a number of different things will make a difference in what the costs will be. Because we've got, you know, costs for infrastructure, costs for improving it, and sometimes it looks like, you know, you have people who have their needs on the table right away, but maybe next year they'll come in with others. But I'll work on that and get as much as I can to the whole committee. Okay, a little bit more.
Ms. Larson,
the other thing on highways is we are concerned about transit, too. We do support transit in the metro area. We also support it in the rural area. And, you know, as we know, the constitutional amendment that was passed last year dedicated 40% to transit. We are hoping to get at least 5 of that 40% for rural transit. Right now we get under 2%. I know that the Met Council would like us to stay at around 2%, and so would the governor, according to what he was saying today. But we think that the needs are much greater. They've just been kind of ignored. And I know we heard last year that we should support this because we have a need for transit, too, and we do. There's too many areas of rural Minnesota that has no transit or very limited, like once a week. That's what I have in my county is buses that come out once a week and take people in so they can go to the doctor or the grocery store. But that doesn't help people who need to work and don't have them, you know, don't have any other kind of transit. So that's one of our concerns. And again, we have some of the environmental issues. First of all, the Clean Water Legacy Act was passed last year. It was passed with one-time funding, and we all know it needs ongoing funding, both for doing the TMDLs and finding out where the problems are. Secondly, for putting money in to help correct the problems that we do find. And so that's a big issue for us. But some of our other concerns are you know, the imposition of arbitrary phosphorus mandates. Right now, all of our lakes have a 1 milligram per liter phosphorus limit, which we think is appropriate. But on some of our rivers and streams, there's been, you know, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has looked to see what are the needs in that particular a lake or stream, and what time of year is it appropriate. And now all of a sudden they have seem to be heading more for one, you know, an arbitrary 1 milligram per liter, and that will be there to present a study before the state legislature this year. We hope people will look at that, and they were supposed to be telling us what's the scientific basis for that. So we hope we look to make sure that there is a scientific basis, because this is going to cost a fortune, and we have so many needs when it comes to cleaning up our waters. We just want to make sure that the money is spent in the best way possible and do the most to clean up our waters. And there's a few other environmental issues, too, but, you know, we might have a chance to present them before this committee, too. So I think that I've probably talked long enough, so I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from members? I see none. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Members, before we adjourn, we're going to adjourn early. I just wanted to let you know that the next meeting on Wednesday is a very full meeting, and so if you can try to arrive on time, we're having both the state auditor and the legislative auditor come in and make a presentation about what they do and what the difference is. We have a bill that's being heard. It's Representative Yaros's bill. And then we are having the legislative auditor's staff come in and make a presentation about the fire. Volunteer firefighters and what the auditor found out. So it will be a very busy day. So if you could try to come on time, and we will try to finish on time. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.